enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus here pictures two roads going to two different destinations. One road goes to something called life. Jesus is all about life. He said, I have come to give you life in all its fullness. Now, you and I know that part of that is eternal life, heaven, a place without end and without wars and sickness and all the things that blight our existence here. Wonderful. But Jesus promised us not only life after death, he promised us life before death when he said, I've come to give you life. If you want to experience life with a capital L, the only way you can do it is through becoming a disciple of Jesus, the Bible says. So that's one place. Then there's another road that leads to a different place. You'll see here in the verse it says, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. The Bible uses a number of expressions to talk about the other place, the place Jesus says you don't want to go to. One word, like here, is destruction. Another word the Bible uses is perish, as in John 3:16. You will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, those two words can be interpreted as what we call annihilation. And many Australians believe this, or they hope it anyway, that when we get to the end of life, there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no anything. We'll just be snuffed out, and that is the end. I remember as, I think, a 6 or 7 year old, you come to a stage in life where you realize people die. And then you come to the horrific understanding that I'm one of those. And so I would lie in bed trying to imagine the universe without me. For a six-year-old, that's a fairly big agenda, okay? But somehow, one day I would die and the universe would go on as if I had never existed. Now, many people, that is their hope. Unfortunately, the Bible uses another word, and that word is the word Gehenna. Now, it is the word that is translated in English by hell. A strange word, hell. I don't know how it got into the Bible. It's actually a German word. There was a lady whose name was Hel, and she was the goddess of the underground. And somehow that came across the channel and got into the English Bible. No idea why that. It's like the word God. It's a German word. What's doing? Anyway, that's another story. Actually, in the Farsi New Testament, we often compare words. The word for hell is actually Gehenna. It's a transliteration of the original word. The person who teaches us most about hell in the Bible is Jesus himself. Almost everything we know about hell comes from the mouth of Jesus. There's a little bit in the Old Testament. For instance, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, it says, many who are in the dust of the earth shall arise, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting shame and contempt. It's hell. And Jesus said, it is to be avoided at all costs. Even if you had to chop off your hand, it's better to go, not literally, Jesus meant, don't go out and do it. It's better to go to heaven with one hand than go to hell with two. And he talked about eyes and feet as well. a place to be avoided at all cost. And the worst statement I can find is from the mouth of Jesus again in Matthew's Gospel, where he described hell in this way: there the worm that eats them never dies, and the fire that burns them never goes out. Now, they're not the words of Michael Bennett, they're the words of Jesus Christ. So there are two destinations, heaven and Gehenna. And Jesus pictures two crowds. Now, I would think there's a big crowd, a very big crowd, and a rather small crowd. And I would think, well, the big crowd, of course, will be on the way to heaven. And the little crowd will be on the way to the other place, for obvious reasons. Why would you want to go there? But Jesus pictures the other way round. The small crowd, the few, is on the way to heaven, and the rest are on the way to the other place. And it doesn't make sense. Why would you? So I picture myself as an ABC reporter, and I'm going to interview the people that belong to the big crowd. And I'm going to say to them, look, you know where this is going. Why are you here? Doesn't make sense. And I've written down some of the responses I might get. So I say to them, look, okay, if I go among you and, do a bit of an interview, hear the sort of responses. I don't want anyone telling me what to do, like Jesus. Or here's another one. Christians are narrow-minded people. I like to be broad-minded. Here's another one. I don't believe in heaven and hell. It's annihilation. Another one. We took a vote, a democratic vote, and most people voted for this side. There's been a couple of strange democratic votes lately. Anyway, that's another story. Another one. All my mates are here and my relatives are here. Another one. I don't believe in God anyway. Another one. I think we're here to enjoy life, and this is the best way to enjoy it. Another one. Look at that mob over there. Let's say they can see the other road, okay? See the bloke with the red shirt? If you knew what I knew about him, you'd know you wouldn't want to be there. Another one. I don't like guitars in church. That's not a personal view, I might say. I think music's excellent. Or another one. Well, mate, nobody told me about what was at the end of this road. Now, I would say to that person, turn around, repent, go back to where you began and try again. If I can give you some advice, a man gave me this advice years ago. Make every effort to enter by the narrow gate. The words of Jesus. Make every effort to enter by the narrow gate. So now let's go back, retrace our steps. We've had two roads, a hard one and an easy one. We've had two crowds, few and many, two destinations, heaven and Gehenna. Let's go back to the beginning, to the gates. Jesus here says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the great gate that leads to destruction. Small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. Let me say some things about the narrow gate. The narrow gate is a lonely gate, because you can only go through this gate one at a time. You can't say to God, I'll go through the gate if my spouse comes with me. Or I'll go through the gate if my parents, relatives come with me, or my mate comes with me. You must go through that gate alone. You can take no baggage through this gate. You can't take, for instance, your wealth through the gate. If it's in on your back, you have to take it off. You can't take your good works through this gate, that you might plead them to God as a reason why he should let you in. The gate, of course, I don't need to tell you, is Jesus himself. In John's Gospel, he said, "I am the gate of the sheep. Whoever enters by me will be saved." We must go through this gate and this gate alone. Now, this bit is not in the Bible. This is a bit I'm adding, okay? I said to Bruce Winter lately, "Bruce, I'm putting all my heresies into one book." And Bruce said, "Michael, it will have to be a big book." He's a nice friend. When you go through the gate, you are issued with something to carry, and that is a cross. Now, the Iranian said to me, "Do you mean a big wooden cross?" And of course not. But Jesus said, if you are going to be my disciple, if you're going to follow me, you must take up your cross and follow me. Luke says, you must take it up daily and follow me. In other words, continuously. Now, what did Jesus mean by that? And I think what he meant by that was shame. See, crucifixion was the most shameful method of execution. For a start, after you were condemned and beaten up, you had to actually carry your cross, as you know. Your thing of execution, you had to carry it to the spot. And if you were a bad person, people, I suppose, could pelt you with all sorts of rubbish if you lost the favour of the crowd. And when you got there, you would be stripped naked and nailed to this thing. And then, as you know, a sign would be put above your head telling everybody what bad thing you did and caused you to come to this condition. And the sign said to the people, if you do this, this is what will happen to you. That was the object of the thing. It was a very, very shameful public method of execution. And Jesus said, take up your cross. See, there's to be a Christian today is to be a shameful thing. Not in the sight of God, but in the sight of society. It's to be a crazy thing. A little story. I have two cousins. One is lesbian and the other one certainly is very hard anti-Christian. I have a brother who's got Alzheimer's, and I try to go and visit him. He lives in Caloundra. I try to go a couple of times a year at least. And for some reason, I hadn't been to 6 months or something. And these two girls said to me, "Oh, you call yourself a Christian. You haven't been to see your brother." I said to them two things. I said, my wife and I have visited them since they've been in Caloundra 40 or 50 times. They have never visited us once during that time. I asked them this question: why do you think my brother's three daughters will not be at his 80th birthday party? Think about that. You see, if you're a Christian, you're a target. You call yourself a Christian. But I know this about you, okay? It's a shameful thing in the eyes. What does Paul say in Corinthians? He says, the Jews seek for wisdom. I've got it a bit wrong here. What do the Jews seek for? Knowledge. the Greeks seek to wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, foolishness to the Jews and to the Greeks. But to those who are called, Christ, the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. The narrow gate leads to the hard, small road. And Jesus said, as he said, I am the gate, he said, I am the road. You know it as, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But the word way is the Greek word for just a road. I am the road to God. And as Weber said correctly, it is the only road. There is no other road. See, the broad-minded person says, oh, look, it doesn't matter what you believe, whether you're Christian or whether you're Hindu or whether you're Muslim or whether you've made up your own faith. So long as you're sincere, all these roads ultimately end up in heaven. That's not what the Bible says. There is only one road that ends up in heaven, and that is the road that starts at the narrow gate. You know, sometimes we Christians are accused of being narrow-minded. Isn't that true? You should be more broad-minded. Jesus is telling us to be narrow-minded. Enter through the narrow gate and travel through the narrow, hard road, bearing your cross to the end, which is worth every moment. Friends, I want you to be narrow-minded people in that sense of the word. If I may just finish by quoting the words of Jesus. Maybe I may be quoting these words to somebody here this morning. I don't know the congregation all that well. Words from the mouth of Jesus. They came to him, the disciples, they said to him, Master, will only a few people be saved? Now, Jesus didn't answer that question. He more or less said, none of your business. What he said to them was, make every effort to enter by the narrow gate. Make every effort to enter by the narrow gate. Don't talk about it. Don't sing about it. Don't have discussion groups about it. Enter. 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 Enter.